pray again before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that my words will be seasoned with grace. That, Lord, I pray that I would speak truth in love. That, Lord, as we hear your word this morning, Lord, it would challenge us, it would change us, and, Lord, we would know that we're loved by you because of your word. Heavenly Father, be with us now as we come into your midst. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Some of you may have heard this story, but there was a mother and a son. And it got to Sunday morning, and the mother said to her son, "It's time for church. Come on, let's get ready. Let's go to church." And the son said, "I'm not going to church this morning. I don't want to go." The mother said, "Oh, we have this every Sunday morning." She said, "Come on, get ready for church. Come on, we're going to church." And he said, "I'm not going to church." He said, "Come on, you know, get dressed, get ready." "Oh, I'm not going to church." And he says to his mother, "Give me one good reason why I should go to church this morning." And the mother turns around and says, "Because you're 34 and you're the pastor of the church." Even the pastor of the church sometimes finds church quite difficult and quite hard. As we've already heard this morning, church can be quite a difficult place to be. And we're going to think this morning about carrying on with the series, The Joy of Grace. But this morning, I want to look at grace in the context of the church. So if you want to title my message this morning, it's Grace in the Church. Now, going back right to the beginning of our series, we looked at Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, it talks about how we are set free into a new life in grace. It talked about how in the past, it's like we were married to the law. That was our husband. The law was our husband. And that by dying and by joining in Christ's death and crucifixion on the cross, we enter into a new life. And because we're in a new life, we can now be united with Christ in that new way. And we often talk about being the bride of Christ, the church being the bride of Christ. And we get that picture. One of the places we get a picture from is Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the love of God, the love of Christ, and the church, and the way that Christ loves the church, being the way that husbands and wives should love each other. So in the way that God's heart is for his church, that's the relationship to which men and women are called to love each other too, in our marriage relationships. That undeserved love, that unconditional love. It doesn't matter about what we do, it's a love which is there unconditionally. Christ loves his church. Jesus says in Matthew, let me just get this right, says in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." Jesus says, church is something that I am all about. I'm going to build my church. And so to ignore church or to treat church with disdain is something which I think breaks God's heart, because the church is something that God loves. It's his idea. It's his plan. The plan of us gathering together is his idea. Jesus says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is God's plan of mission of God being accomplished on earth, is through you and through me together. We are the people who are called to minister God's grace to the world as we have first received grace in ourselves. As we looked at Romans chapter 7, it talks about how when we're united with Christ, it means we can now bear fruit. How when we're under the law, when we're married to the law, we couldn't bear any fruit. I talked about how it was like an impotent husband. The law's like an impotent husband. It doesn't bring any life. It doesn't bring anything good. What it brings is just condemnation. And yet when we enter into this new life with Christ and this new relationship with Jesus, we bear much fruit. And Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit, that when we're in Christ and when we're in him and the Holy Spirit's working inside of our lives, there is fruit that naturally comes from that. But the fruit of the Spirit isn't just, I think, for us personally. It's also for us corporately as the church. The church is called to be in relationship with Jesus and to bear fruit through that living relationship with him. Matthew 10:8 says, "Freely you have received, so freely give." We've been talking about the freedom that we have in grace, the joy that we have in being in grace over these last 6 weeks, the joy of having God's grace. And it's crazy, it's amazing, the undeserved grace of God. But the challenge then comes when Jesus says, freely you've received, now freely give. And that's the hard bit. It's hard enough trying to get your head around grace and living under grace. But then what about living a lifestyle of grace? Truly living out grace in the life of the church and in the world around us. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 4, which is going to be the main text this morning. So if you've got a Bible, I urge you to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. One of my favourite passages about church life. And Paul writes this, starting at verse 4. As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope, when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Whew. Good old Paul, just go straight in there for it. And we can hear that read and we go, oh my life, that's quite challenging. I find that amazingly challenging, that passage. And it starts by saying, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We're saved by grace. That's just how we are. We are saved by grace. But Paul's encouragement to us is saying, live a life worthy of that lifestyle of grace. Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Live it out. Live it out with one another. And he says, to start with this, bear with one another in love. Bear with each other in love. Love has got to be central to what we do here as the church. Being rooted and established in love is what Paul writes elsewhere. We are called to people of love. Now, I don't know about you, but there's people in the church that I find really hard to love sometimes. Obviously, I wouldn't name any names. But I'm sure you find there's people in church who you just really struggle sometimes to love. And it's really hard work. And my first challenge this morning to you is this. Think about the people in church that you find it really hard to love and pray to God that he would give you the grace to love them like he loves them. So just think a minute, just for a moment. Think about those people that you find really challenging. And ask God now to give you the grace to love them like he loves them. Everything that we do in the church has got to be bear with one another in love. Bear with one another in love. Because love brings a place of unity to us. Under grace, we are united together. Paul writes that under grace, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are all the same. We all need grace. We all need the love of God in our lives. We're no one's better than anyone else in this church, but we are called to be one in him. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, which is the chapter after this, about the husband and wife. He says that we are united with Christ. We become one with him. We are his body. We are united with him. So we need to love each other because we're called to be one. When we don't love each other, it brings division in the church. And the whole of this passage is talking about unity in the church being really, really important. We are under one love together, under one grace together. And he says that grace has been given to each one. And with the gift of grace as it comes to us, so there are gifts that come with that to minister God's grace to each other. So he talks about how there are some who are called to be apostles, some are called to be prophets, some are called to be pastors and teachers. We each have different gifts in the life of this church, and we each have different gifts in the life of this church for a purpose. If you're here this morning and you say, I have no gift to give, that's a lie. It's not true. Because the Bible says you have got a gift, that God has given you grace. And so it says that each one, according to grace, he gives us gifts. And the reason he does that is so that we can minister to each other in the place of grace. We minister to each other the grace of God. So some of us in the church, we really pastoral. And we minister the love and grace of God to each other in that way. To some in the church, there'll be people who are teachers, who also maybe start at the front here. It could be a small group. It could be in passing. Share a truth of God into the lives of people here. It's there to minister the grace of God into the life of the church. Some will be prophets who bring the word of God to us. We had that a few weeks ago. Bringing the word of God so we can all be built up in Christ. There are different gifts in the church, different ministry gifts in the church, to build us up in grace. That's the whole point of gifts in the church. To make us more a people of grace, united together in that one purpose, that one faith, that one baptism, that one God and Father of all. So each of us have a gift. Each of us have a gift. And it's important we discern those gifts. And it's important that we use those gifts. Why? I'll take you to the dictionary right now. The dictionary definition of grace, under the understanding of grace as a noun, which is what we talk about when we talk about the grace of God, the noun version of grace. It talks about a condition of people loved and forgiven by God. Or another way to put it, is the infinite love, mercy, favour, and goodwill shown to humankind by God. It's a condition. The noun version of the word grace is a condition. But grace isn't just a noun, it's also a verb. A verb is a doing word, and so it's an action. And so grace, in another sense, is to make something more attractive, or pleasing, or interesting, contributing pleasingly to something, or to make a pleasing contribution in an event by attending it. Okay? So we receive the grace of God. The condition. We are under the condition of grace. We are loved by God. You can't change that. We are saved by grace and grace alone. When you put your faith in who Jesus Christ is, you receive the grace of God and you are loved by him. His favor is on you and you're blessed by him. But the challenge that Paul writes is live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We need to turn the condition of grace into the contribution of grace. We need to turn the noun into the verb, into the action of grace in the life of the church. And I love the way it says it. It's to make something more pleasing, more interesting, to contribute something, or to contribute to an event by attending it. You see, you being here this morning in church is an action of grace to all of us. So your gift hasn't got to be up the front, leading worship, or shaking hands on the door, or being on the sound desk, or doing something that seems important. Your very being in the place of this church is an action of grace. Because you are gracing all of us with your presence. You are acting in grace. You are making us more attractive. You're making us more interesting. You're making us more what we should be. Resembling more of who God is. Because each of us are the image and likeness of God. And the more we are, the more diversity there is, the more we reflect the true nature of who he is. So you being here this morning is an action of grace. Because sometimes for me, the biggest thing that someone can do for me is give me a smile. Or I see someone in worship and they're just loving God. Actually, they haven't done anything other than be here and be who they are, and it's encouraged me in my life. There are people in this church who just are encouraging because of who they are. They haven't got to do anything, they just are encouraging for who they are. That is an action of grace. So you being here is important. You being part of the life of the church is important because being here, gathering together, choosing to show up, is an action of grace in itself. It's living a life worthy of the calling that you have received. So contributing to the life of this church can sometimes just be turning up. But I think it goes on beyond that into actually ministering the gifts of God to build up the church. So the second point this morning is turn your condition into an action of contribution. Let grace flow through you and be action through you in the life of this church. Do everything as an action of grace. But as we live in this place, as we live in the life of the church, it's not always easy. It can be very hard because being a family is difficult sometimes. Being a family is hard. And see, this wasn't just recognised by Paul. This is recognised also by Peter. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 8. And Peter writes this. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so to one another. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Love covers a multitude of sins. He's saying, in the life of the church, we're going to offend each other. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult sometimes. But love is the thing which will cover the multitude of sins. Love each other with grace. The same that you have received the love of God in grace. Love each other. We are at some point all going to fall out with someone in the church. At some point, I've said this to you since I started at this church. At some point, I will offend you. And at some point, I will do something to annoy you and upset you. I will do. If it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. For some of you, it's already happened. So praise God, we've got over that and got past it. But I will mess up because I'm human. And all of us will mess up in the church because we're human. We're all going to offend each other at some point in the life of the church. That's just a fact. So get over it. Because love covers a multitude of sins. We're going to do things to annoy each other. But we need to get over it because love covers a multitude of sins. Love needs to take pride of place. Grace needs to take pride of place in our life. Here in 1 Peter, it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. What is hospitality? Hospitality is inviting people to share in your life. So sharing our lives together. The church is called to be hospitable to one another. It doesn't mean just sharing food together. It means sharing life together. Because this isn't just about you on your own. This is about us together on the journey of God. Yes, faith is individual, but faith is also corporate. And church is about saying, we want to be hospitable together. And he says, as you share life together, try and do it without grumbling. And grumbling is something that happens in the church quite regularly. I'm quite a good grumbler. I fail at this quite regularly. But he says, as you share life together, don't grumble about things. Don't grumble about it. If we go to Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 15, Jesus speaks about disagreements in church. And he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Good start. Just between the two of you. Get that? If someone hurts you in the church, don't go complain and grumble to everyone else. Go and speak to that person and sort it out there and then. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So someone's just struggling with someone, and you try to talk to them, you haven't been able to resolve it, get a few more of you to talk about it, so that there's a bit more balance, and try and sort it out. And then he goes on to say, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as as you would treat a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them also. He's saying, don't grumble in the church. Don't grumble. If you have got a gripe about something, go and resolve it quickly with that person who you have an issue with. Talk it over with them. And if they don't listen to you, get a few more of you around just so that there's a bit of witness to that, so there's a bit of testimony to that, so that you can see whether, first of all, you're right, and actually whether you're seeing things clearly, or whether they actually need a bit of perspective on it. And if they won't talk, if it's still an issue, take it to the whole church. Because we have a corporate responsibility to each other when it comes to the issue of grumbling. We have a corporate responsibility to each other. That as we share life, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But the reason why we need to sort issues out quickly is because in the place of unity comes the place of God's authority and God's power. See what he said at the end there? He said, sort out issues quickly. Why? He says, because when two or three of you are gathered, Christ is in the midst. And if a few of you together agree on anything, it's done by God in heaven. He's saying that the power comes of God in the church when we are united in our purpose. And a psalm that I've read to you probably many times before, you must be sick of it by now, is Psalm 133, which says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil on the beard running down on Aaron's beard. It is as dew on Hermon, falling from the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing forevermore. Where there is unity, that's where God's blessing flows. That's where God's blessing is. Because in unity, it's about being in one faith, one baptism. It's about being in the place united in grace, all using our gifts and skills together to minister to one another. And when there's disunity in that in the church, it breaks the authority and the power that the church has in Christ. So we have an obligation to each other in grace to resolve our issues and our gripes with each other quickly. And if we can't resolve them quickly, it becomes what? A whole church matter. Why? Because if we as the church are trying to move forward and there's people in the church who have got a massive disagreement with each other, it's a foothold for the enemy to attack our church and get in. Because it only takes one person to start grumbling and go, oh, have you heard that person? Oh, they're awful, aren't they? And it spreads like wildfire. Churches and gossip are two things that go together so, so well. And yet the Bible says that gossip is sin. So resolve your grumbling as quickly. As we seek to show hospitality to each other, as we seek to open our lives to each other, do it without grumbling. That also means don't sit there and kind of go, I'll give this much of my life in the church, but no more. Church is about sharing our entire life, saying everything that I am is yours, everything that you are is mine, and together we live our lives together for the purposes of God, united in the fact that we are one people under one baptism, one Lord. That's what we are. Everything we have anyway belongs to God. So all we're doing is saying it belongs to all of us because it belongs to God first and foremost. Don't grumble about sharing your life with people. Don't grumble about hospitality. Resolve issues quickly in the church because unity is what Paul writes about in Ephesians 4, saying it's there to build us up as the church, to bring us into what? Into maturity. If we're going to be a mature church, unity, resolving our issues, resolving our differences in the right way, in the honourable way, is what needs to be at the heart of what we do. Because that is about sharing grace in the church. And Paul speaks the words in Ephesians 4, and he says, let me just find it again, speaking the truth in love. And the truth in love sometimes is actually quite hard to hear because it's truth. But we're called to do it in love, not going to go, ha ha, I'm better than you, you're wrong on this situation. It's going, speak truth in love. Share your heart in the right way. Speak, if you have an issue with someone, do it in love. Don't do it out of malice. Do it out of love and out of grace. So the first point this morning was to ask God to help you to love those you find it hard to love. The second point this morning is to turn your condition into a contribution in the life of the church. Thirdly, sharing life with all that we have with each other. As we share life, do it without grumbling. And I've got one last point this morning I want to make. It's probably the hardest one to say. This hospitality, this sharing life together, is also about sharing our lives with the world around us. So my last point this morning is this. In the church, we need to become uncomfortable so that the world can feel more comfortable in this place. We need to become uncomfortable so that others feel comfortable. See, for us, we come to church each week, and it can be quite comfortable coming into it, because we know it, we're used to it. We walk in, we know where things are, we know where the toilets are, we know where the kitchen is, we can come in. But if you've never ever been to church before, it's the most terrifying thing you can ever imagine. Because you don't know what to wear, you don't know where to go, you don't know what it's going to be like, you don't know any of this type of thing. It's terrifying. It's really, really scary. I've told you probably this before. When I first came to Yardley Baptist Church, the very first time I preached here, I didn't have a clue where to go because the doors at the front were shut. And so I looked at the church. I had no idea there was a car park behind the back and everyone comes through the back door normally. But we do it without thinking, don't we? We come through the back door because it's convenient and it's the way where we come in parking the car park. But for me, I didn't have a clue where to go. So I walked up to the front doors, but of course you've got the fire exit, you've got the front doors, and you've got another fire exit. So there's five doors which are possible opportunities to get into the church. So we need to become uncomfortable and go, we'll have people on the welcome team who are going to man the door, and we're going to make sure the door's open so that people know which door to come in. We're going to make the effort to become uncomfortable, do something which actually puts us out of being a little bit chilly out the front there, so that actually for people coming in new, it's welcoming, it's comfortable. It means in the life of the church, it means sitting maybe on the front rows and leaving some of the back rows free so that when people come in new, it's not scary sitting on the back, because it's scary coming in. They don't want to sit at the front of the church. And we're all laughing because we know it's true, but actually the challenge this morning is let's do it. Let's do it. It's very lonely down here at the front for me. But he's saying, let's be uncomfortable. Thanks, Steve. But he's saying, let us become uncomfortable so that the people coming into this place can feel comfortable. It's things like saying, we're going to touch the nerves now, it's things like saying, we'll put the coffee at the back of church rather than the lounge, because actually that means when people come into our church new, they haven't got to try and work out where to go to get the coffee. Now, it's a pain in the backside to have coffee at the back of church, but actually, by putting it there, it means that people are already can see the coffee. It's all ready to go. People are already in the place of community. Rather than having to walk past the toilets to then get to the coffee. It's things like saying, it's issues like saying, our worship. Actually, we're going to be as a church to try and make our worship more comfortable for people who come in. It's not about us being comfortable, it's about other people being comfortable. So we'll try and have contemporary worship or a contemporary style of worship. Not that it necessarily suits all of us, but because it makes but us being uncomfortable, it makes other people feel comfortable. That's living a lifestyle of grace, where actually you put other people first, where you serve other people first. There's a whole lot of things I could probably speak this morning and touch many nerves in the life of this church about becoming uncomfortable so that other people feel comfortable. It can be things like actually choosing to come to church early to pray for the service before you get here, rather than coming in and going, oh, I hate this song. Oh, I wish people shut up now. Oh, it's saying, rather than having that attitude of grumbling, why don't you choose to become uncomfortable and get here early to pray for the service? To pray for those of us who are trying to serve and minister. Because we're all failing. You know, we're all failures. By God's grace, we do this every week. And so it's very easy to sit in the congregation and moan, but actually, what are you going to do for us? Are you going to pray for us? Are you going to pray for each other? What are some of the other things I've written down here? Don't get me in trouble for. I look forward to all the email complaints tomorrow morning. Things like serving in the church. We do it. It's uncomfortable. It's a pain in the backside turning up to things. Because, you know what, actually, it's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. But it's being comfortable for other people. And actually, we need to learn a culture of being uncomfortable so that other people feel comfortable. But within that as well, I just want to bring one last thing to this, which is it's uncomfortable to come to church meetings. It's uncomfortable to come out in the evenings to do various things in the life of the church. But why is it important? Because the church is God's church, not our church. And to treat it with disdain and contempt is not of God's heart. And it's divisive and it's not right. So being part of the life of the church is important because you are important. You have a particular gift, you have a particular grace that God's given you to bring us all together. And only when we come together corporately together with all of the gifts and all the skills do we come together to seek the mind of Christ. As Baptists, that's what we're all about. I have no authority in this church other than the authority that's given to me by the church meeting. The church meeting, us corporately together, have the authority and the power. I have none of it. I find it hilarious when people come up to me and say, Pete, can you sort this out? And you're going, I have no power to do it. I'm just the pastor. I have no power. Because we're Baptists. We share the power. It's all of our decisions. And so we have to be united in that purpose, united in that calling, saying we'll be uncomfortable to make other people feel comfortable. We'll be united to bring unity and maturity in the life of the church. Sort out your grumblings quickly. Because if you are in a disagreement with someone else, if you're grumbling about something not being right in church, it affects the whole body. It's not you being affected, it's all of us being affected. Because we are one body of Christ. If you get gangrene in your foot, if you leave it, it will take over the whole body. Your whole leg will fall off. It affects all of us. If you have an issue, if you have a gripe, if you have an annoyance which you keep moaning about to other people, it will affect all of us. And it means that God can't work his blessing in the life of the church together. So my heart this morning is hopefully to speak in love, to speak truth in love. But say, you know what, church? If we want to be a place of grace, let's be honest with each other. Let's do what the Bible actually teaches us to do in the life of the church together. Let's be people who pray for each other, who seek to love each other. I'm going to wrap up before I get tomatoes thrown at me. But so point number one, just to recap this morning. Ask God to help you love those who you find it hard to love in the life of the church. Number two, use the gifts you have and see that using them is a ministry of grace, which turns our condition of grace into a contribution of grace. Number three, share life without grumbling for the purpose of unity. And number four, be prepared to become uncomfortable so that others can feel comfortable in this place. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, he says this, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. That's my prayer for us, that we would live under the blessing and the grace of our triune God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. Thank you that we are loved by you. Lord, give us grace for each other in this place, that we may minister to one another in love, in grace, for the purpose of unity. Lord, help us in that challenge of becoming uncomfortable to allow others to become comfortable. Lord God, minister to each one of us this day and every day. In your name we ask. Amen.